Ask God to help me share this word with you. If you would also bow your head and close your eyes and just ask God in your own way, in your own words, maybe in your heart quietly or openly, just say, God, show me something tonight. Teach me something. And I'm going to ask him to help me share with you his word for you. Father, I thank you for the opportunity to preach. I ask you to help me clearly think and speak your word tonight into this place. We praise you, God. Amen. Amen. So for those of you who are new to the building, we're going to take just about 20 minutes and talk about something God said in his word called the Bible. And after that, we're going to break and head downstairs. So don't worry, I'm not going to preach like for an hour right now. We're going to head downstairs after that and we can hang out down in the cafe as long as you want or as long as your homework permits. If you have your Bible, I want you to open up to the book of 2 Kings chapter 3. And I can read it verbatim, we might read a little bit of it, but I just want to fill you in on what's going on here in this story. Last week, if you were here, you heard about Elijah. Elijah was this prophet who did amazing things. I mean, he was known for one in particular story where he battled against 450 priests of a pagan god. He challenged them to a duel. He actually said to them, "Your God is weak and he has no authority, and my God is the king of all." And he challenged 450 priests against him. He challenged them to like this pray off, this worship off, this sacrifice off. And they both slaughtered a bull. They put a bull on their side. He put a bull on his side. They're dancing around, cutting themselves, saying all kinds of hooja what's its voodoo words, and nothing happens. And he gets up there and he prays one simple prayer. And a pillar of fire comes down. And it's clearly portrayed for all history that Elijah is a man who speaks for God. And this guy, Elijah, goes on to live a life where he's known as this powerful prophet, and he ends up getting an apprentice later. He mentors this guy named Elisha. We talked about him a little bit last week. We talked about burning plows and how he was called into the work of a prophet. We talked about what it means to deeply surrender. And some of you were challenged and invited to deeply surrender something to God. And I pray that this week, maybe you were here last week and you surrendered something to him. And now you're saying, what's the next step? Or how do I get past this surrender mode? And I feel like there's something big out there and I don't know how to get it. And I'm praying that tonight would be a night where we continue to move forward in this series. The series is called Greater. It's about It's about how to dream bigger, how to start smaller, and how to ignite God's vision for your life. If I were to ask you, can you imagine if at the end of your life, I'm getting a bunch of Facebook updates while I'm up here. That's awesome. Are you all checking in right now? I felt it like vibrating in my pocket. I was like, "Woo, what's going on?" Anyway, that was weird. So last week we talked about Elisha. This week we're talking about dreaming bigger, igniting God's vision for your life. What if I told you at the end of your life there was going to be a guy who came to you with an iPad maybe, or whatever the version of iPad is at the end of your life, this clear screen that just kind of pops out in front of your face and you see this thing. And on that screen rolled a version of your life that was the A++ version of your life. The version of your life that was lived with big dreams and small steps and success along the way, and the version of your life that you dream of now actually happening. And somebody on your deathbed says, look, this is the life that you could have lived. And you dream back and you think back about all the moments in your life that maybe weren't what they could have been because of the choices you made related to the things on this screen. How many of us, after hearing that, would say, nah, I don't want that life. I don't want that. I mean, we would all say we want the best version of our life possible, right? We would say we want the varsity version of our life. We want the A+ Division I version of our life. If I were to ask you that question, it would almost be pointless because all of us in the room would say, yeah, I mean, I want that. I want that. Well, I want to tell you tonight that that's possible. It's possible to live from this point forward a life that is A++. I'm not telling you a perfect life or a life without difficulty, but I am telling you that there's a life available to you that is the truest life that you could ever live, that is the true version of your life and not a counterfeit or a plan B, but the plan for your life that was meant to be from before time began. We're going to talk about a guy tonight who decided that he wasn't going to live a counterfeit version of his life, but he decided ahead of time that he was going to set aside the things that other people meant for him to do, and he was going to go after a higher calling, go after something greater. And for you tonight, I believe there's something greater. I believe that greater thing is not something, but someone. It's a great one. It's God. And tonight, as we go through this story, I want you to listen for the beauty of who God is and how He is the desire, the deepest desire of our hearts. And then when we find Him, ultimately we find all the other things that matter to us also. All right, so let me tell you a little bit about his story. He goes into mode, like mentor mode, with Elijah. Okay, Elijah comes first, and then Elisha. I remember that because J comes before S in the alphabet. I know all you guys, all you like trig students and all you like seniors, you all know already. You already have the info memorized. You probably have like the Bible memorized from Genesis to all the way to the end. But I need to remember alphabet. I'm simple-minded, all right? J comes before S. Elijah came before Elisha. Elijah taught Elisha pretty much everything he knew about prophecy and being a prophet of God. And Elijah led an amazing life. Elisha picks up along the story, and he does some crazy, whacked out things. And when we pick up the story, he's already done a couple of things. One thing he did in particular, after he started following God, is he spoke to a bitter well of water where people would go and drink from it and die. He spoke to it, and the water became clean and healthy to drink. So that, if you can imagine, in like the 9th century, that started some talk. That made some sense. People were talking about Elisha a little bit like they used to talk about Elijah. Like he had some power here. Maybe he is speaking for God. Another thing he did, and I promise this is really in the Bible, he had a hair problem, kind of like me, but serious, like he was a bald dude. And at one point, some kids came out from the city, and Elisha got a little perturbed because, and if you don't know what perturbed means, that means he got mad. All right, it's just old folky language. He got mad because these kids are making fun of him for being bald, right? So he gets a little uptight about it, and he gets angry with them, and he calls bears out of the woods, and they kill the kids. Right? Crazy. Right? Crazy. It's in the Bible. I'm telling you guys who are like, the Bible, it's lame, it's boring. Well, really, I would say you're boring because you got to read this stuff. If you think it's boring, I mean, even if whether you believe it's true or not, you got to read it and check it out and just be like, whoa, I didn't know this was in here, because some of this stuff I couldn't even make up if I wanted to make it up. Right? It happened. And check it out. Promise. You'll be at least intrigued. All right, so we get to this point in the story, and he is minding his own business, and there's three kings who decide to come together to fight against this country called Moab, right? And these three kings, two of them, they're totally, like, they don't pay any attention to God ever. But on this day, when they go for this fight, they decide they need some help from God. And there's the third king's name is Jehoshaphat, right? And I was really worried I was going to swear when I said that. But Jehoshaphat, that's a tough name to say. Go ahead, say it. Say Jehoshaphat. Go ahead. Go ahead, turn to the person next to you and say, Jehoshaphat. But say it to somebody you don't mind spitting on, because it's going to happen. Jehoshaphat, okay? That's how you say it. Well, Elisha says to these three kings that come to him, I'll help you out, I'll talk to you, but only because Jehoshaphat is with you, and I dig him. He's cool. He seeks after God, but the other two guys, you're losers. Like, but I'm going to. And here's what he actually says. I'm going to skip through here. And I'm going to start in verse 9. Here's how it goes, okay? If you got a Bible, you can read it. It'll be up here on the screen, too, I think. Are we blacked out? Are we good, Matt? Okay. I'm going to read it quick for you guys can see this. So the king of Israel went with the king of Judah, and the king of... Hey, Matt, what version you got? ESV or NIV? ESV, okay, great. I just want to make sure, because sometimes I'm reading one thing, and then there's a different thing up there, and then you're all confused, and I'm like, oh, okay. You with me? If you're with me, say, yep. Oh, come on. There's like two people over here. Are you with me? Yeah, okay, great. So the king of Israel went with the king of Judah and the king of Edom. And when they had made a circuitous, and I had to look that up, that basically means roundabout or around the way. They made a round the way march of 7 days. There was no water for the army or for the animals that followed them. Then the king of Israel said, alas! Because we all talk like that now. Alas, the Lord has called these three kings to give them into the hand of Moab. And Jehoshaphat, see, you thought I was making up that name, but I wasn't, see? Jehoshaphat said, "Is there no prophet of the Lord here through whom we may inquire of the Lord?" Then one of the kings of Israel, one of the king of Israel's servants answered, "Elisha, the son of Shaphat, is here, who poured water on the hands of Elijah." And Jehoshaphat said, "The word of the Lord is with him." So the king of Israel and Jehoshaphat and the king of Edom went down to him. Okay, so they all go down to see Elisha. What's the problem here? You guys pick up on the problem? The problem is they went to war and a drought hit the land. There's no water. So they got all their soldiers, they got all their horses, they got, in these days, they didn't have tanks or like canteens, they didn't have like camelbacks that they wore, they just needed water. So they realized once they got out there, they're going to die because they're out in the middle of the desert with no water. So they go to seek a prophet and they seek favor for him. Now, realize here, something pushes us to God at times. And I want to pose you guys a question. Now, this isn't the main idea, but have you ever been in a situation where your need causes you to turn towards God? Maybe on the front end of the night, you didn't realize that you were going to be praying at the end of the night. But at the end of the night, it turns out that whatever you got into, all of a sudden you needed God to show up in a big way. Has that ever happened to you? I know it's happened to me a bunch of times. And I'll be honest, before I knew Christ and even a little bit after, there were a lot of nights I spent hugging toilets, praying that God would save me. And I would just, and I would call it literally praying to the porcelain God. And I would drink so much and get so sick that I would get at the end of myself and think, if God doesn't show up right now, I am going to die. I am going to die. I remember just puking and puking and puking to the point where I thought, I'm really going to throw my stomach up out of my mouth into this toilet, right? And I don't know what it is for you. I don't know. That's what it was for me. That was my story. Like, there was moments where I would start out the night and I'd be like, I'm going to be a party. This is going to be great. I got my buddies. And I would get into situations where I would just be like, God, please save me. And I don't mean like I was, like now I'm kind of laughing about it, but then it was like serious, serious business. God, save me. I think I'm going to die here. I won't spend all night talking about this, but there was a night, one of the first times I ever drank alcohol in my life, varsity football players showed up at my house. I was a freshman football player, and they thought it'd be cool to get a kid drunk and see what happened. And they gave me a gallon of something, and at the end of the night, I remember them just dropping me off in the front yard of my house. And not like the only reason I know that's where I was, because that's where I woke up, right? And I thought when I woke up, I think I'm dead. I think this is where people go when they die. To the front yard of my house. It must just be how it happens. Now, I don't know what it is for you. I don't know what situation you've been in where you started the night one way and you ended the night thinking that God needed to show up in a big way. Maybe for you, it's not a party thing like it was for me when I was just cracked out of my head. But maybe for you, it's a friendship where you started out and things were good and all of a sudden it turned bad and you're just right now saying, God, I need you. I need you. I thought this was going to be good. I thought this guy was going to treat me right, but God, I need you to show up and give me truth here. Show me how to handle this. Maybe it's school. Right now you're going off to college and you're going, what do I do next? Where do I go? Who do I ask? God, help. Help. Last year you had it all together. This year, what happened? I don't know where you're at, but we all get to the point, some way or another, by need, that we turn to God and say, help. We turn to something. And tonight, I want to invite you to turn to God. That's what the kings did. Watch what happens. So they go to Elisha, and they say to him, basically, we need your help. And Elisha, if you haven't picked it up yet, he's like the prophet. And these are the kings of his home nation. This is like Obama and like whatever the prime minister of Canada is and the Mexican guy. They all come together, and they're like, dude, we need your help. We need to go take care of this thing in Syria, and we want to know what you want us to do, right? And these are the biggest, most powerful people in his country. In that moment, don't you think he'd be like, wow, you know what? I've really thought about this a while. I just need to think about it. Like, maybe put on a little bit of performance, maybe show a little bit, like, act the part. No, he doesn't do that. Check out what he does. I love this about this guy. He says, what do I have to do with you? Go to the prophets of your father and the prophets of your mother. He basically says, your mama, like, your mom's got a God. Go get her. And like, have you ever had a friend that just ends everything with, your mom? You know, I'm like, ooh, don't mess with my mom, right? So he says this to these guys, and it's just like, basically, eh, whatever. I don't even want to mess with you. Just go. But he says this. But the king of Israel said to him, they're persistent, no, it is the Lord who has called these three kings to give them into the hand of Moab. So they, what do? They say, no, 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 wait, you don't understand. Elisha, it's not us coming to you. This is a thing that has to do with the God you represent. So Elisha's like, oh, okay, you pulled the God card on me. Guess I got to do something now. He says this, but the king of Israel, he said that. And Elisha says, as the Lord of hosts lives, before whom I stand, were it not that I have regard for Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, I would neither look at you nor see you. So he says, all right, because I like this guy, I'll help you out, right? And this, he thinks he's all big and bad and tough, but really he's just a man representing God. But now bring me, this is the coolest thing, I think, wacky thing in the whole story. All right, all you tough guys, this is like, up until now, you might be thinking like, yeah, I could be Elisha. I could do that. Like, I just tell him. You go, your mom needs God. Go. And you're like, yeah, I could do that. Maybe some of you girls are like, I'm tough. I don't care. Obama comes talk to me, I'll tell him where to go. This is what he does next. He goes like this. He goes, I'll help you out because I like you. You two guys, I'm not sure about you yet. But what I'll do... Well, first, before we do anything, I need a harpist. I need somebody to come and play the harp for me. And I don't know if there's any instrument in the world that could be more emasculating than asking for a harp to be played while you're thinking and praying about stuff. But he asked for a harp. Maybe that was like the most popular instrument to be played then. I would personally ask for like, I need some electric guitar. Just play some drums in the background while I pray here. Don't we all, like, sometimes just side note here? You guys, you know what they call this? What we call this? We call it mood music, right? We call it mood music. We got mood music for everything, right? You get in the gym, and you hear, like, this kind of crazy, like, some gyms you're going to, they're just playing this, they're piping this stuff in. It's like, you can't even understand the words. It's just like, and then people are like going crazy on the elliptical machines and they're running like at 92 miles an hour on the treadmill. And then like, you're just like, what is going on? Sometimes I'll go into the gym too late and this stuff's playing and I'm like, holy cow, what are they, who are these people? And, but then other times I'll see my wife, she works out, and she'll put music on, and I think, what does she listen to? I know it's like Kenny G or something, some kind of saxophone stuff, so it probably is. But everybody's got their different music they set themselves to. Did you know music can inspire you? Did you know music can inspire you to do things that you wouldn't be able to do if you weren't listening to the music? Do you know that? You guys know that? You're shaking your heads, right? How many guys, you guys know this, because I know when the girl gets in your car, you're like, hey, I got some tracks for you to listen to. I'm going to put this one on right here. You'll like this, trust me. And girls are like, I know, because when I'm journaling, I just need to listen to my soft music. Or maybe for you it's like baking cookies or, you know, you're making brownies or whatever. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. I'm just joking. I know, guys like to make brownies too. It's cool. But what we do is we have music that inspires us. They say even in exercise, you can work out and burn 30% more calories depending on the music you're listening to. But what can happen is we listen to music, we get inspired, and if we leave it at inspiration, we can get really hung up really fast. Because music and inspiration are good, but if it doesn't turn into perspiration, that's a problem. Because if we're inspired to do something, who cares? But if we're pushed towards perspiration, we start to sweat over the action of something, then things start to change. Elisha asked for musicians. After he asked for musicians, he begins to do something about it. He gets inspired by God to do something. And he speaks a word to these kings. And what I want to ask you tonight is, have you been inspired to do something that you haven't perspired about? Have you been inspired to do something? Have you been dreaming about something big, but you've been sitting on it like something's going to happen, but you just don't know what to do? Maybe you have a big dream in your life and you've been inspired to do something great, but you just don't know how it could ever happen. And so you go home, sit on your couch, throw in some Black Ops in the Xbox, play some video games while you think, man, you know what? I can't believe that kid got beat down today. I should have done something about it. Well, maybe somebody will do something about it sometime. Maybe I'll just kill some more Nazis. Or maybe your dream is to see people who are in need of help, who are not on the same level as us, as you mentally. Maybe your dream is to see them cared for. And you don't think it's okay that people have to be held down because there's plenty of people in the world that could help them. But instead of doing something about it, instead of letting your inspiration turn to perspiration, you let your inspiration end at thought or dream level. And you go home, do your homework, and you go to school, and you go home, and you do your homework, go to sleep, go to school. I want to ask you, what are you inspired to do? What are the things that you've been dreaming about that have left you wondering, what could ever be done about this? What could we ever do to change this? It's just always going to be this way. It doesn't have to be. Do you hear that? It does not have to be the same way. There are people in this world who are living a lesser version of their life because people before you have left their dreams at inspiration and never turned them into perspiration. You're the answer to someone's problem. And God has hardwired you to do something crazy, something small, something that I call dig ditches, all right? Dig ditches. And I was really worried I was going to say that wrong because that could have gone bad fast. I'm going to challenge you to dig ditches. Check this out. This is where the next part of the story comes in. All right, so he gets the harpist and he starts playing music. He puts his earbuds in. He's like, yeah. He's like, all right. He's got like, I don't know, what do you guys listen to for inspiration? We listen to. Say, yeah, I know you're in church. Just tell me one group you listen to when you need some inspiration. Listen to Miley Cyrus. Austin listens to Miley. All right. Scary. Anyway, that just totally messed me up, Miley. Now I'm picturing him dancing like Miley at the VMAs. That's not good. Okay. Bad. Okay. Well, I'll pick Lumineers. I listen to Lumineers sometimes. And we'll say, I listen to them. I listen to the inspiration. He's listening to inspiration. And he starts to pray, and he's seeking God, and he's like, and then the track switched to Lecrae, and he's like, yeah, tell the world. And he goes, all right, God, I got the word for these men. And you know what he tells them? You know what he tells them? He goes back to these kings, and he said, the kings, I know what they're saying, because as soon as you talk to a prophet, and if the prophet says, yeah, I'll go to God for you, then immediately, like, I get that feeling, like, the kings are like, oh, we got this. Everything's going to be all right. It's going to be cool. God's got this, right? Because we got the prophet, and he's good. Jehoshaphat over here, he's in good with this guy. We got our parking permit. We're good. We're going to be, all of September, we'll be in the lot. I'll be like, right there at school. And, sorry. You know what he does? He comes out, and he says this, to a bunch of leaders and soldiers that are dying of thirst in a drought, you know what he tells them to do? He tells them, go dig some ditches in the valley. Go dig some ditches. And he doesn't leave it there. He says, go dig ditches because what's going to happen after you dig ditches is going to blow your mind. Because we need to hear something tonight. You guys got to hear this. God is the one that brings the rain. God is the one that brings the rain. We are the ones that dig the ditches. God is the... Say that with me. Say this. God brings rain. We dig ditches. All right, you guys, you're half asleep. Come on. You're talking like it's the third week of school instead of the first week of school. Come on. God brings the rain. We dig the ditches. Oh, that's very good, because you all were like real close to saying the other one, right? So here's this. God has forever wanted to include man in the production of his glory. Did you know there's a story about Jesus, and he walks into a room, and there's a guy with a withered hand. It's like broken, and it's withered. And did you know Jesus had the power to say, be healed? He could just touch it, maybe, if he wanted to. But he could just speak the word and the arm would come back to strength. But you know what he said to him? He said, stretch out your hand. And the man, as he stretched out his hand, it became whole. There's another story about a lame man that Jesus ran into. And the man got up. Well, he brought his mat. He was carried in. And Jesus said, get up, pick up your mat, and walk. He gave the human being in front of him, gave the man an active role in the healing process. He has a plan for your life of great things because he's great. And when he comes into a life, your life gets greater. Okay? He's the thing that makes your life greater. And what happens is when you say, God, come into my life, he says, dig a ditch. And you're like, whoa, God, I want you in my life. I want joy. I want peace. I want love. I want all the stuff that comes along with you. And he says, dig a ditch. And you're like, I don't want to dig a ditch. And he says, dig a ditch and I'll fill it with rain. Are you getting what I'm saying here tonight? Are you getting that when you're down, when you're frustrated, when you're mad, when you need God most and you know that you don't deserve it, sometimes what he tells you to do is take a step off the edge and watch how he lifts you up. Because he's the one that brings the rain. Now, I don't know what it is in your life that you need to start digging ditches for or about. I don't know if you're like me and you got a problem and every Friday night you find yourself with your arms wrapped around a toilet bowl and throwing up into it like crazy because you just can't stop. Maybe you can't stop. Every time a teacher gives you an assignment, all of a sudden your head starts spinning and you think, how am I ever going to get all this stuff done? God doesn't expect you to take on the world and get it all done and be like, I am He-Man. He says this. He says, I'm God. I'll bring the rain. You just take a step, dig a ditch, and watch what I can do. I'll fill it. I'll fill it. And he fills it. The end of the story goes like this. Check this out. And he said, thus says the Lord, I will make this dry stream bed full of pools. For thus says the Lord, you shall not see wind or rain, but that stream bed shall be filled with water so that you shall drink, you, your animals, your livestock and your animals. This is a light thing in the sight of the Lord. And he talks about how they will go on, not just they will get water, but they will win the victory that they aimed for. God doesn't want to just satisfy your momentary need. He wants to pour into your life the knowledge of who he is, which is the greatest victory anybody can ever know. We've got just about 5 minutes left, and I want to invite you guys tonight to respond to this word. And I'm definitely not into embarrassing anybody. I'm definitely not into putting you in a position where you're going to start talking about what your next step is right here, right now, right? That's not my goal. But my goal is to ask you a question that gets you one step further, one step closer to who God is. I want you to know him. That's my whole goal. We are Word of Life Youth, right? Word of Life Youth. And the life in Word of Life, what it stands for is leading individuals to become faithful and effective. I want your life to be faithful and effective. I want you to know Jesus in a personal way so that every time struggles come and that frustration, the thirst of something greater comes into your life, you can run right to him and say, Jesus, what do I do here? Fill me with your water. Satisfy my thirst. I'm dying. I need you. And you know what the beautiful thing about knowing Jesus is personally in that way? Is every time you pray that prayer, things don't get perfect. You don't get the doors flung open in front of you and everything right like roses. What you get is way better than that. What you get is Jesus. And if I say that and you go, oh, pfft, yeah, Sunday school taught me that. If that's your response, I'll tell you right now, you have never met him, you don't know him, and you never have. And you probably have not met anyone who really does know him. Because once you have a conversation with the one who created you and wired your life to be A+, Division I, out of sight, it doesn't matter what you get from him. The only thing that matters is that you're with him. And when you're alone in a room full of people and nobody understands why, when Jesus comes into your life and you are whole, you realize the thing you've been searching for wasn't a thing at all. It was the one who designed you. I'm going to ask you to lean forward, put your elbows on your knees tonight. Close your eyes if you would. If closing your eyes is more of a distraction than a help, then I just ask you to keep your eyes open. But I want to ask you this question. If you're in the room tonight and you came in for whatever reason, I know we're all here for different reasons. Some of us bargain permits. Some of us, our parents forced us to come. Some of us, we're a youth pastor and we're all jacked up on the inside, but nobody knows it. We just pretend to have it all together. Some of us, we just need something greater than anything we've ever imagined before. And tonight I want to talk to you who've been broken on the inside. You've been seeking for something that you didn't know you could get, but tonight's your night to meet Jesus, the designer, the creator of who you are. If that's you, you're in the room and you're saying, I've dug ditches, man. I've tried. I'm so frustrated with life. You don't know my parents. You don't know my story. But if this is true about this Jesus that you're talking about, I want him. If it's true about Jesus, what I'm saying, and you want him tonight, if that's you, I want you to put your hand up in the air and say, I want that Jesus that you're talking about. Go ahead and put those hands up. Hold them up high. Just for a second, I'm going to pray with you. I see your hands up. I see them. Not to embarrass you, I'm not going to ask you to come down to the front. I'm not going to do that. I see, okay, you can put them down. Father, I thank you so much for those in this room who are looking to you as their answer. I pray for these who have raised their hands tonight. I ask you, God, to make yourself known to them. Holy Spirit, I thank you for raising Jesus Christ from the dead, for the sacrifice that you were, Jesus, so that we could be covered. I thank you, Lord. I pray, God, that tonight, as we close our prayer, that you would seal our conversation, that you would draw us to yourself, that you would continue teaching us what our small steps are so that you could bring the rain. Help us not to get our roles confused, but to seek only after you. I praise you, God. Amen. Amen. If you guys would lift your heads, there's an amazing story called the Gospel. It's a story of creation. It's a story of man screwing it all up. And it's a story of God the whole time wanting to rescue his precious sons and daughters. And in the end, he returns and he sweeps us off of our feet and he brings us home to himself once and for all. I want to invite you to know that story in its fullest form. You can get connected here at this church through small groups, through one-on-one coaching, and even through events. We have lots of things coming up for you. But as we close, I want you to hear this. For anybody who's in the room and you're still saying, like, okay, you talk a lot about digging ditches and taking steps, and yeah, but that's all kind of abstract, and I'm not really sure what my next step is. Let me give you a next step. Here's your next step. If you're still like, I want Jesus, but I'm not real sure what ditch to dig. Here's what you need to do. One, get connected in small group. Because life change happens in small groups. You guys know that because your friends, your little friend circle that you run with, life change has happened to the people in your crew because you're together in your group. People that have encouraged you, sharpened you, dragged you down, pushed you up. It's all because of that group you're connected with. So I want to challenge you to get connected in a small group. Now, am I going to be down with every one of you showing up at my house a week and a half from now? Yeah, I am. Okay, honestly, we'll have to like knock down a wall or something, but we'll do it and we'll talk about things that matter most to you. A small group is designed for you to be able to sit across a room from somebody who you either know or don't and say, look, my life's kind of a wreck right now. I need somebody to walk with me through life. Would you do that? Yeah. And I know for some of you, that's a giant step to be able to sign up for a small group. Others of you, you're like, yeah, actually, that's what I need. Where do I sign up? So I'm going to let you guys run out of here. Some of you got to get a parking permit. But I want to invite you, sign up for a small group. If that's you, tonight come see me afterward. If that's too big of a step for you, I totally understand. Some of you need some time to process. We have books, Learning to Follow Jesus books, that are for you to learn what it means, what the next step is for those of you who accepted Christ tonight. They are in here. They're on this back table over here as you leave. You can grab one from there. If we run out, because we had a bunch of hands go up, I would love for every one of you who raised your hand to take one of those. If we run out, we do have more, and I can go get those. But I love you guys. You're officially dismissed. You can go. We're going to open up.